Today will be another marathon of Shakespeare monologues. This time I'm just going to limit it to Much Ado About Nothing. Using the same website resource, ShakespeareMonologues.com. And I'll be doing it in order on that website. First, Boraccio from Act 5. Sweet prince, let me go no farther to mine answer. Do you hear me, and let this count kill me? I have deceived even your very eyes. What your wisdoms could not discover, these shallow fools have brought to light, who in the night overheard me confessing to this man how Don John, your brother, incensed me to slander the lady Hero, how you were brought into the orchard and saw me court Margaret in Hero's garments, how you disgraced her when you should marry her. My villainy they have upon record, which I had rather seal with my death than repeat over to my shame. The lady is dead upon mine and my master's false accusation. And, briefly, I desire nothing but the reward of a villain. Next. Benedick, Act 2. This can be no trick. The confidence was sadly born. They have the truth of this from Hero. They seem to pity the lady. It seems her affections have their full bent. Love me. Why, it must be requited. I hear how I am censured. They say I will bear myself proudly if I perceive the love come from her. They say, too, that she will rather die than give any sign of affection. I did never think to marry. I must not seem proud. Happy are they that hear their detractions and can put them to mending. They say the lady is fair. 'Tis a truth, I can bear them witness. And virtuous. 'Tis so, I cannot reprove it. And wise, but for loving me. By my troth, it is no addition to her wit, nor no great argument of her folly. For I will be horribly in love with her. I may chance have some odd quirks and remnants of wit broken on me because I have railed so long against marriage. But doth not the appetite alter? A man loves the meat in his youth that he cannot endure in his age. Shall quips and sentences and these paper bullets of the brain awe a man from the career of his humor? No. The world must be peopled. When I said I would die a bachelor, I did not think I should live till I were married. Here comes Beatrice. By this day, she's a fair lady. I do spy some marks of love in her. Next. Boraccio, Act 3. Seest thou not, I say, what a deformed thief this fashion is? How giddily it turns about all the hot bloods between 14 and 35, sometimes fashioning them like Pharaoh's soldiers in the reeky painting, sometime like God Bell's priests in the old church window, sometime like the shaven Hercules in this smirched worm-eaten tapestry, where his codpiece seems as massy as his club. Not so, neither. But know that I have tonight wooed Margaret, the lady Hero's gentlewoman, by the name of Hero. She leans me out at her mistress's bedchamber window, bids me 1,000 times good night. I tell this tale vilely. And should first tell thee how the prince, Claudio, and my master, planted and placed and possessed by my master Don John, saw afar off in the orchard this amiable encounter. Two of them did, the prince and Claudio, but the devil my master knew she was Margaret, and partly by his oaths, which first possessed them, partly by the dark night, which did deceive them, but chiefly by my villainy, which did confirm any slander that Don John had made. Away went Claudio enraged, swore he would meet her as he was appointed, next morning at the temple, and there, before the whole congregation, shame her with what he saw o'ernight, and send her home again without a husband. Next. Claudio, Act 4. There, Leonato. Take her back again. Give not this rotten orange to your friend. She's but the sign and semblance of her honor. Behold how like a maid she blushes here. Oh, what authority and show of truth can cunning sin cover itself withal? Comes not that blood as modest evidence to witness simple virtue? Would you not swear, all you that see her, that she were a maid by these exterior shows? But she is none. She knows the heat of a luxurious bed. Her blush is guiltiness, not modesty. Not to be married, not to knit my soul to an approved wanton. I know what you would say. If I had known her, you will say she did embrace me as a husband, and so extenuate the forehand sin. No, Leonato, I never tempted her with word too large, but as a brother to his sister showed bashful sincerity and comely love. Out on thee, seeming, I will write against it. You seem to me as Dian in her orb, as chaste as is the bud ere it be blown, but you are more intemperate in your blood than Venus or those pampered animals that rage in savage sensuality. Leonato, stand I here? Is this the prince? Is this the prince's brother? Is this face heroes? Are our eyes our own? Let me but move one question to your daughter, and by that fatherly and kindly power that you have in her, bid her answer truly. To make you answer truly to your name. Hero itself can blot out hero's virtue. What man was he talked with you yesternight at your window betwixt 12 and 1? Oh, hero, what a hero hadst thou been, if half thy outward graces had been placed about thy thoughts and counsels of thy heart. But fare thee well, most foul, most fair. Farewell, though pure impiety and impious purity. For thee I'll lock up all the gates of love, and on my eyelids shall conjecture hang to turn all beauty into thoughts of harm. And never shall it more be gracious. Next. Act 4. Dogberry.
Dost thou not suspect my place? Dost thou not suspect my years? Oh, that you were here to write me down in ass!
But, masters, remember that I am an ass, though it be not written down, yet forget not that I am an ass. No, thou villain, thou art full of piety, as shall be proved upon thee by good witness. I am a wise fellow, and which is more, an officer, and which is more, a householder, and which is more, as pretty a piece of flesh as any is in Messina. And one that knows the law, go to, and a rich fellow enough, go to, and a fellow that hath had losses, and one that hath had 2 gowns and everything handsome about him. Bring him away! Oh, that I had been writ down an ass! Next. Benedick, Act 2. Oh, she misused me past the endurance of a block. An oak but with 1 green leaf on it would have answered her. My very visor began to assume life and scold with her. She told me, not thinking I had been myself, that I was the prince's gesture, that I was duller than a great thaw, huddling jest upon jest with such impossible conveyance upon me that I stood like a man at a mark with a whole army shooting at me. She speaks poniards, and every word stabs. If her breath were as terrible as her terminations, there were no living near her. She would infect to the North Star. I would not marry her, though she were endowed with all that Adam bade left him before he transgressed. She would have made Hercules have turned spit, yea, and have left his club to make the fire too. Come, talk not of her. You shall find her the infernal Ate in good apparel. I would to God some scholar would conjure her, for certainly, while she is here, a man may live as quiet in hell as in a sanctuary. And people sin upon purpose, because they would go thither. So indeed, all disquiet, horror, and perturbation follows her. Next. Leonato. Act 4. Wherefore? Why, doth not every earthly thing cry shame upon her? Could she here deny the story that is printed in her blood? Oh, do not live here, oh, do not ope thy eyes. For did I think thou wouldst not quickly die? Thought I thy spirits were stronger than thy shames? Myself would, on the rearward of reproaches, strike at thy life. Grieved I had but one. Chid I for that at frugal nature's frame. Oh, one too much like thee. Why had I one? Why ever wast thou lovely in my eyes? Why had I not with charitable hands took up a beggar's issue at my gates? Who besmirched thus and mired with infamy, I might have said no part of it is mine. This shame derives itself from unknown loins. But mine and mine I loved, and mine I praised, and mine that I was proud on, mine so such that I myself was to myself not mine, valuing of her. Why, she, oh, she is fallen into a pit of ink that the wide sea hath drops too few to wash her clean again, and salt too little which may season give to her foul tainted flesh. Next, Friar Francis, Act 4. Mary, this well carried shall on her behalf change slander to remorse. That is some good, but not for that dream I on this strange course, but on this travail look for greater birth. She dying, as it must so be maintained, upon the instant that she was accused, shall be lamented, pitied, and excused of every hearer. For it so falls out that what we have we prize not to the worth whilst we enjoy it, but being lacked and lost, why, then we rack the value. Then we find the virtue that possession would not show us whilst it was ours. So will it fare with Claudio. When he shall hear she died upon his words, the idea of her life shall sweetly creep into his study of imagination, and every lovely organ of her life shall come apparelled in more precious habit, more moving, delicate, and full of life into the eye and prospect of his soul than when she lived indeed. Then shall he mourn, if ever love had interest in his liver, and wish he had not so accused her, no, though he thought his accusation true, let this be so, and doubt not but success will fashion the event in better shape than I can lay it down in likelihood. But if all aim but this be levelled false, the supposition of the lady's death will quench the wonder of her infamy, and if it seem not well, you may conceal her, as best befits her wounded reputation, in some reclusive and religious life, out of all eyes, tongues, minds, and injuries. Next. Leonato, Act 5. I pray thee, cease thy counsel, which falls into mine ears as profitless as water in a sieve. Give not me counsel. Nor let no comforter delight mine ear, but such a one whose wrongs do suit with mine. Bring me a father that so loved his child, whose joy of her is overwhelmed like mine, and bid him speak of patience. Measure his woe the length and breadth of mine, and let it answer every strain for strain. As thus for thus, and such a grief for such, in every lineament, branch, shape, and form. If such a one will smile and stroke his beard, bid sorrow wag, cry hem, when he should groan, patch griefs with proverbs, make misfortune drunk with candle wasters, bring him yet to me, and I of him will gather patience. But there is no such man, for, brother, men can counsel and speak comfort to that grief which they themselves not feel, but, tasting it, their counsel turns to passion, which before would give perceptual medicine to rage, fetter strong madness in a silken thread, charm ache with air and agony with words. No, no, it is all men's office to speak patience to those that ring under the load of sorrow, but no man's virtue nor sufficiency to be so moral when he shall endure the like himself. Therefore give me no counsel. My griefs cry louder than advertisements. Next, and lastly, Benedick, Act 2. I do much wonder that one man, seeing how much another man is a fool when he dedicates his behaviors to love, will, after he hath laughed at such shallow follies in others, become the argument of his own scorn by falling in love. And such a man is Claudio. I have known when there was no music with him but the drum and the fife, and now had he rather hear the tabor and the pipe. I have known when he would have walked 10 miles afoot to see a good armor, and now will he lie 10 nights awake, carving the fashion of a new doublet. He was wont to speak plain to the purpose, like an honest man and a soldier, and now he is turned orthography. His words are a very fantastical banquet, just so many strange dishes. May I be so converted and see with these eyes? I cannot tell. I think not. I will not be sworn, but love may transform me to an oyster. But I'll take my oath on it. Till he have made an oyster of me, he shall never make me such a fool. One woman is fair, yet I am well. Another is wise, yet I am well. Another virtuous, yet I am well. But till all graces be in one woman shall not come in my grace. Rich she shall be, that is certain. Wise, or I'll none. Virtuous, or I'll never cheapen her. Fair, or I'll never look on her. Mild, or come not near me. Noble, or not I for an angel. Of good discourse, an excellent musician, and her hair shall be of what color it please God. The prince and Monsieur Love. I will hide me in the arbor. End. And as a footnote, some of these prepared monologues are clearly intercut from the scene in which they derived, such as Claudio's. Okay. Thank you.